Well, good morning. God bless you. Certainly is wonderful to be with all of you saints and to open the greatness of God's word. And since Stephanie brought it up, if you haven't been convinced so far that it's God's word that heals, the topic for this next teaching is the healing power of God's word. So we're just going to keep at it until you believe it. Please take your Bibles and turn to 3 John 2. 3 John 2. Healing is always God's will, has always been, is now, and always will be God's will to deliver his people completely. And because of that, there are many, many things that our Heavenly Father has given us and done for us to help us to be healed, to help us to be delivered. But none of them is greater than God's word itself. Dr. Rohl used to talk about what he called the great healing realities of life. And when he would list the great healing realities of life, the first one on his list was always God's word itself. God's word itself. So we're going to consider the healing power of God's word. And the more I looked at this in the scriptures and the more I thought about it over these last couple of weeks, the more I realized that I certainly have not seen this big enough. I haven't understood, haven't seen how vast and how incredible God's plan and his desire is to heal us by his very word. And a great way to expand our vision on this is to go to a verse here that we all know. Many of us probably have memorized this wonderful verse in 3 John 2. But I saw some things in here that I'd never seen before, and I hope this morning to be able to share some of those with you. We know, of course, from verse 1 here in 3 John that this epistle was given by revelation to John to a believer named Gaius. But as we'll see, it's also God's prayer. It's also God's heart to all of us as his children. So let's read verse 2, 3 John 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And first of all, he refers to us as his beloved. It's the same word translated dearly beloved in verse 1. And it's a word that means to be especially loved, to be especially dear, to be very special to the heart of someone. That's how our Heavenly Father thinks of us. We're so dear to him. We're so special to him, each one of us. And that's why he wants us to prosper and be in health. And the word wish here, I wish above all things, that's a word for prayer. This is really God's prayer as a loving Heavenly Father for us as his children. And what is it that our loving Heavenly Father desires so much for us, his prayer for us? What does he want for us? Well, it says the word prosper here twice, and it also talks about being in health, doesn't it? And here's one of the first places where I think perhaps we haven't seen this big enough. Because generally, when we hear the word prosper, where our mind goes, what we tend to think of is material prosperity, physical prosperity. In fact, even when we hear the words the more abundant life, sometimes our vision is too limited in that we think in terms of material or physical prosperity. But when we hear the word healthier, sometimes we think just in terms of not getting sick. But yet, both of these words, to prosper and to be in health, are massively bigger than that. They go way beyond that. God's heart and desire in both of these categories is so much bigger than just not getting sick or physical prosperity. The word prosper or prosper here come from the word to be led in a good way, to be led in a good way. It's the same words translated to have a prosperous journey in Romans, where Paul said he hoped to have a prosperous journey to come to see them. It's to lead in a good way. And even more tellingly, this word prosper is the same word that Jesus Christ used when he said, I am the way, I am the good way. Well, we know that the good way that Jesus Christ came to lead us into involves incredibly more than just physical or material prosperity, and incredibly more than just physical healing, although those are part of it. But it's the way of God's word. It's the way of a more abundant life that goes way beyond in every category. And it's a way of life, a good way, which is directly related to the spiritual life we have on the inside and the fellowship that we keep with God. God's good way is the way of fellowship with our Heavenly Father. God's good way is the way of his word. And we'll see that a little bit this morning. And in the same way, these words here, to be in health, go way beyond just not being sick. In fact, of the 12 uses of this word in the New Testament, only one of them has to do with physical healing. That should get our attention. There must be much more to being healthy, much more to being healed, much more to being delivered than just not to be sick. Quite something. This word means to be healthy, to be sound, or to be whole. And the pattern that God is going to set here by how he uses this word for healthy is really awesome. It's really going to teach us about how important God's word is to all of this. So let's look at a few places it's used. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're after to understand what it means to be truly healthy in God's vision for our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Here's a place where that word translated to be in health is used. 2 Timothy 1:13. Look at this one here, 2 Timothy 1:13. It says, hold fast the form of what kind of words? Sound words. That's our same word. Healthy words, wholesome words, whole words that bring wholeness to our lives. And those would be the words that they had heard of Paul, it says, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We need to receive sound words, words that bring soundness, wholeness, healthiness to our very lives. And then we need to hold them fast. That's to hold on tenaciously with love and believing to those sound words. That will bring us God's health. And really, if you think about it, it's pretty much the same principle that we've been told all the time when it comes to physical health. We're told that if we want to be physically healthy and stay physically healthy, that one great key is to eat whole foods, right? To eat very healthy foods, eat pure foods. Well, Psalm 12 says that the words of the Lord are pure words. They have pure spiritual nutrition in them. They're healthy. They're whole. And those sound words will bring wholeness to our lives as we take them in. Look at 1 Timothy 6, very conveniently nearby here, 1 Timothy 6. The same class of sound, healthy words is mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 3 and through 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll see this word again. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to what kind of words? Wholesome words. That's our same word again, translated to be in health in 3 John 2. And he's going to tell us which words those are. What are the words that are wholesome, healthy words? They're even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness. Sound, healthy words are words that come from God. Sound, healthy words are the words that Jesus Christ spoke. Sound, healthy words are the words about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and what he is in us. Those are sound, whole, healthy words that bring wholeness to our lives. You can maybe jot it down in your notes if you remember John 6 in verse 63. Jesus Christ said that the words that he spoke were spirit and they were life. They were spiritual life. That the words, because they were God's words that he spoke to them, when they were received and believed, they would bring spiritual life, true health, the very life of God into a person's life. How fantastic. Words. We could say they're just words, but they're not just words, they're God's words. And those words bring life. And these words, these sound words, give us healthy words, and they give us the doctrine, the right believing that leads to godliness, it says. And godliness is a relationship with God. All true health begins with God's word, and all true health is tied up with our relationship with God. The more sweet, the more intimate, the more tender, the more we develop that relationship, the healthier and more whole we are in every category of life. And when we don't keep our minds filled with these sound, healthy words, the words of God and about Jesus Christ, what happens is our minds become sick. Our minds become diseased with the kinds of things talked about in verses 4 and 5. Look at verse 4. This man who doesn't hold these sound words, he's proud. Jerry talked about that last night. Knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. The word doting here means to be sick and diseased in the mind. Sick and diseased in the mind. Whereof come envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, unhealthy minds, destitute of the truth. They've had the truth stolen from them. And they suppose that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Is it any wonder that the world is sick? It's sick with the disease from which all unhealthiness comes, spiritual, mental, and physical. All true unhealthiness comes from one source, which is sin. Sin is the cause of all unhealthiness in all categories. And the symptoms of that disease are doubt, worry, fear leading to unbelief, spiritual weakness and inability. We can never get away from session one of Power for Abundant Living. It's all right there. That is the disease, sin, and those are the symptoms of that disease among people. But when we have sound, healthy words, and we believe those words, we take them in, we digest them, they become a part of us, a part of our life, that knowledge makes it possible for us to have sound teaching. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Go to 1 Timothy 1. Verses 9 and 10 talk about more manifestations of how sick the world is. But if we have sound, healthy words, then there can be sound, healthy teaching. This is the order God has set this in His Word. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is unhealthy because it's contrary to what kind of doctrine? Sound doctrine. That's our word again. Wholesome, godly, healthy doctrine. Sound words produce this soundness. And this word for doctrine here is the word for teaching. If there are sound words, there can be sound teaching. Healthy words, healthy teaching. This is how God designed it. And what teaching is the sound, healthy teaching that we want to be feeding ourselves on? The teaching, verse 11, that's according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That word glorious means this good news, it's magnificent, it's awesome, it's bright shining. It shines light into our lives, it dispels darkness from our lives. And this gospel here, this good news, these sound words were the words of the mystery. What God has done for us and in us in Jesus Christ. Those are the words that will bring wholeness and healing to our lives. And when those words of healing are taught, sound words producing wholesome sound teachings, then we're going to have sound doctrine, right believing, the way to believe rightly what God wants us to believe and know so that we can manifest His wholeness in every category. It does include physical healing. We'll see that in a couple of minutes, but it's not limited to that in any way. He wants wholeness for us in so many other categories. Look at Titus chapter 1, please. Titus 1, verse 9. This is another verse we've seen many times, but maybe we could see this one bigger too. So far as we trace the words for to be in health from 3 John 2, we have sound words which produce sound teaching. Next, we'll see that word used for sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. We need to hold fast the faithful word, God's word, as we've been taught. That we may be able by what kind of doctrine? Sound doctrine. There it is. Healthy, that's our word again. Healthy doctrine. And that wholesome, right believing enables us to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, those that contradict, those that speak against the word of God, those who have unhealthy thinking and speak unhealthy words. We won't be subject to those because we'll have put into our minds that sound doctrine. God's sound words, producing sound teaching and sound believing, sound right believing, are like the white blood cells in the body of Christ. They attack fear. They attack doubt. They attack worry. They don't allow those to penetrate. And when an organism is healthy, a body is healthy, it can be attacked, but it resists. It doesn't allow those diseases to penetrate. It doesn't have to affect us the way it could. Unbelief and fear and condemnation are the disease agents. They're the germs of the adversary. They're all around. He's launching them all the time. But as we hold sound, healthy words, sound, healthy teaching, sound, healthy doctrine in our minds, then we won't fall prey to those diseases. We won't be infected individually or as a body of Christ. And when each member of the body of Christ is healthy because of the healthy word of God, the pure health and wholeness of God living within us, then how strong is that body? Very strong, because it's got the health of each individual member with that word living within. And then the adversary can throw anything at us, and we'll stand, we'll resist, we'll be strong, we'll move God's word, we'll heal, we'll bless, and nothing can stop it, because we have that wholeness, that health, that strength that God gives. On the other hand, when we're sick, we're more vulnerable to other things, aren't we? When you're sick, your immune system is down, other things get in there and other things can attack. And that's just as true spiritually and mentally as it is physically. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll see it there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's nice that most of these uses are right here in the neighborhood. Makes it kind of easy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this. Same word we're going to see here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word, that healthy, that sound, that wholesome word. Preach that word. Be instant in season and out of season. Speak it all the time. We need to speak it to ourselves. We need to hear healthy words. We need to speak them to other people. And we need to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and right believing doctrine. For the time will come, verse 3, when there'll be people who will not endure sound, healthy doctrine. That's our word from 3 John 2 again, sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They're going to reject those sound words, that sound teaching, that sound doctrine. They don't want it. They won't have healthy believing. And they'll be turned to fables. Fables are untrue words, unsound words, unhealthy words, diseased words. Is it any wonder that the world is so sick? We could even say insane words. The word insane comes from two words that mean not healthy. They're insane. They're not healthy words when they're put in our minds. They make our minds unhealthy. But we don't have to go that route. So what have we seen so far in this wonderful word that God calls to be in health in 3 John 2? We've seen healthier sound words, his. We've seen healthy and wholesome teaching. Makes it possible for us to have sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is right believing. So we should expect to see this word healthy used with believing in the Bible. And you know what? We do. Look at Titus chapter 2. Two more uses of this word in Titus 2. This is the pattern God has set. So we would know how to be healthy, how to be truly healthy. Because just like true prosperity has everything to do with our relationship with God. True prosperity, material prosperity, is just an overflow into the material realm of the limitless riches we have in Christ. The same is true of true health. True physical health comes as an overflow. It's the fruit, it's the product of having that healthy Word of God living within us. Word flowing through our veins, Word flowing through our minds, Word directing our paths. That word makes us healthy and whole. And then that overflows into the physical as well. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. The exhortation is, but speak thou the things which become, or they're appropriate, they fit with sound or healthy doctrine. That's the first use in this context. And then it goes on to say that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound, or healthy in faith. Healthy in the right way of believing, as well as to be healthy in the love of God, charity, and healthy in patience. Patience is endurance, standing fast, standing strong. God's word enables us to do that because we'll be healthy. How cool is that? Do you see how we've thought about health too narrowly and too limited a fashion? God's health, God's healing goes way beyond just not being sick. It's to be whole, it's to be healthy in every category of life, and the Word of God is the key to every part of it. It's fantastic. So when we have healthy believing based on healthy doctrine coming from healthy teaching, which came from healthy sound words, then we'll have wholeness in every category. including walking more and more in the love of God, which is healing, as we'll learn more later on today. And then we'll have strength and resistance and patience. We'll stand fast. That's what that word patience means. And don't we need that in this life? You know what brings that? God's word. God's word does that for us as a body and as individuals. Now, about this time, you may be asking yourself, well, does the word to be in health have anything to do with physical healing? Well, thankfully it does, as we'll see in a moment. It is in there. But God wants us to see where it fits, where it fits. It doesn't come first. It's the end of a chain of things. It's the fruit of a tree that God has set forth. It's the byproduct of these other things. Of course we need physical health. Many times we're in great need of healing, of physical healing. But the adversary has tricked us. He's robbed us. He's talked us into going about it backwards. We're seeking the fruit without seeking the root or the tree that produces it. This word of God very naturally, very simply, very beautifully flows health into us, including in physical categories. But if we're trying to start at the end and just get the end product, it won't work. And that's how he defeats us. He gets us to not see the bigness and yet the simplicity of what God has for us. So many times when people come asking for help, and we so long to help people, all of us, we want people to be whole. We ache when they hurt. When any member of the body of Christ is hurt, we all hurt. And people come and they have needs and they're wounded. And what we say to them so many times, and it's been said to all of us, to me many times, the first thing we tell people often is, get your head into the Word. Flood your mind with God's Word. And although people don't say it out loud, I think sometimes in our mind we're going, yeah, but what I need is physical healing. Exactly. Exactly. You're not going to get it by focusing on your need. You're going to get it by allowing the health of God that's in that word flow through you and in you and produce that health, not just physical healing. Yes, that can be had too, of course. Absolutely God's will. But much more than that, don't settle for just physical healing. God wants you to be healed in every category, and it's all part of this word, the healing power of God's word. The light, the love, the joy, the peace that comes from the believing of the word is healing. So this word, health or healthy, as I mentioned at the beginning, is used one time in relation to physical healing. It's a record that we've already seen, but we ought to look at it. Look at Luke 7, please. Dean mentioned this. This is the record of the centurion who came to Jesus seeking healing for his servant. Luke 7. Now, the fact that only one of the 12 uses of this word to be in health is in the context of physical healing doesn't mean at all that physical healing isn't important. It's a huge need. We need more of it. We need to see a lot of it. But it does indicate to us that God wants us to understand that physical healing fits in a much bigger picture. There's a whole heart behind this. There's a whole vision behind this that goes way beyond physical healing. And physical healing will be just one beautiful part of that wholeness that God wants for us. And if we don't see the bigger picture, we're not likely to have the believing to be able to manifest the physical wholeness that we need, because it all comes by believing. But believing what? The word. Believing what we already have, believing who we already are, believing what God has already done, that's what brings deliverance in every category, including physical. Remember the centurion said to Jesus Christ, you know, you don't need to lay hands on my servant, as Dean pointed out. You don't need to come to my house. I'm not worthy that you come. He doesn't need to touch the border of your garment. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For him, the word of God was enough. The word of God was big enough, and that's the place we want to get to. As Stephanie said too, it was Dean said, God is looking for that, where he would go, what, right, at our believing. That was great. So, but Jesus Christ looked for that. We want to be that class of believer. I only need the word. The word is enough. I don't need signs before it. Signs follow. I don't need the touch the hem of the garment. All I need is God's word. If we believe God's word, that's where the healing comes. I absolutely believe that as I speak God's word to you here this morning, that you will get delivered, because the word is good enough. The word is big enough. This word has the power and authority to heal in every category when believed. And the result was what we see in Luke 7, verse 10. Just want to read this because it's got our word in it again. It says, and they that were sent, Luke 7:10, returning to the house, found the servant whole. That's our word again from 3 John 2. They found him healthy again. They found him sound again. They found him whole again that had been sick. The word of God has to be enough for us. The word is our contact point for deliverance. This word has the life and power of God behind it, and it heals. So of course physical healing is needed. And of course physical healing is available. You bet. It is absolutely God's will to heal us of every ailment, every disease, every illness, every sickness, every pain. That's the whole idea. But we need to see it much bigger. It's always intrigued me how Dr. Rohl many times would distinguish between being healed and being whole. He referred to those as being two different things. And I think if we understand what we're seeing here this morning, we'll see that and understand that a little bit bigger. Because the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ is so much bigger. It goes so much farther than just physical wholeness. It's a complete wholeness, a complete redemption, because he's a complete Savior. You can be healed and still not have peace, right? You can be healed physically and still be condemning yourself, still not be taking advantage of your righteousness. You can be healed physically and still be afraid. You can be healed physically and still have no hope in your life. You can be, as I believe it was Stephanie said, you can go your whole life and be physically healthy your whole life, and yet if you have no eternal life and have no relationship with God, what good is it? That's not wholeness. That's not true health, right? If all we're seeking is physical healing, then we're selling way short what God wants for us and what he intended for us. And I think in dealing with this subject of physical healing, there's a logical question that we probably all have had that needs to be addressed. You know, the verse that set Dr. Rohl on his quest in biblical research was John 10:10, wasn't it? He said, as I looked around at the people around me, I could see in the Bible, John 10:10, and I thought to myself, if Jesus Christ came that people might have life and have it more abundantly, why is it that so many Christians do not manifest even an abundant life? And that set him searching in God's word. The related question that perhaps we've asked ourselves is, if it is absolutely God's will to heal, why don't we see more healing? Why aren't we seeing more signs, miracles, and wonders, and deliverance? Since it's clearly God's will through his word, there may be a lot of reasons, but the basic reason to both those questions is exactly the same. Man's lack of believing in the integrity and accuracy of God's word is man's basic spiritual problem. It's his basic mental and physical problem, too. It's a lack of believing this word is why we haven't seen the level of deliverance that is still available. Man's believing in the greatness of God's word, and therefore in what God can do, what God is able to do, and what God has already done has been very low. For the most part, we've not risen up to our believing privileges in many cases, because we're surrounded by a world that's so negative, it's so contrary to God's word, where we come to expect negatives, we come to expect failure, we come to expect things to not come to pass. And therefore, that unbelief there that has been built throughout our lives in the world and so forth has made it that our level of believing is not that high, and we have not claimed our legal believing sonship rights. How can we see more healing and deliverance in our lives? How can we see more healing and deliverance in the world? Build more integrity and accuracy of God's word into people's lives, including our own. The more of this word, the simple, beautiful, pure, healthy, sound word of God that we can put in our own lives and give to others, the more miracles we'll see, the more signs and wonders we'll see, the more great healings we'll see. We call that many times the temperature of believing. It's not a biblical term, but it describes something very real in God's word. Believing, which is how we receive, believing comes from hearing the word. And then as we believe that word, we get delivered. And that believing inspires believing in others of the word. And it's a virtuous cycle. We get more healing, more believing, more healing, more believing, more healing, more believing. That's what happened in Acts. That's what happened in the Gospels as we saw this morning. That can happen again, but it'll be built on the word of God. Not on people, not on other things. It will be built on the word of God. It's the healing power of God's word that we need first and foremost. God wants us delivered. His nature is to heal. He called himself the God that healeth thee. It's his very nature to deliver. But the adversary wants to keep us down. The adversary, the devil, he wants us to stay oppressed, to stay sick, to stay in darkness. So he talks us out of it. He rips us off. And he does it in a bunch of ways. First, he'll tell us that it's not God's will to heal us. Well, we know that's not true, so we can throw that out. And then he'll whisper to us that, hey, you know, it's God who really made you sick. And he's doing that to test you and to build your faith. There are all these other nonsense things that people say. But if we reject that lie, and in here we know better than that, then he'll go after it in other ways that sometimes we don't reject quite as readily. As we talked about, it'll get us to settle for seeking physical healing when complete wholeness and deliverance are available. He'll get us to focus on the blessing that we're seeking instead of the blessor. Seek the fruit, the blessing, instead of God from whom that blessing flows. God is our Father. We seek God first, a relationship with God. That makes it all available. He'll get us to focus on our symptoms, and the symptoms many times are far removed from the cause. And that's important. You know, sometimes people will come and they'll say, would you pray that these symptoms I have go away? And I'll say to them, well, I'll absolutely pray for you. But when I pray for them, I pray that the cause be removed. Because if the cause is removed, then the symptoms will go away on their own and they won't come back. That's what God did. Our physical sickness is a symptom. God sent Jesus Christ not to deal so much with the symptom, but with the cause. He came to eradicate sin. He came to give his life to defeat sin. He's the sacrifice that handles the problem of the sin nature. When the cause is removed, then the symptoms can go. He's a complete deliverer. He'll get us to put our believing in a man instead of the greatness of God's word. Well, if so-and-so prays for me, I know I'll get healed. No, it's the word, and Stephanie handled that so beautifully. All of us, God designed this word of God and this body of Christ such that every one of us has the ability to bring deliverance to our brother or sister in Christ and to other people. We sell ourselves too short. He'll get us to think that we have to earn our healing, deserve it, or work for it. None of us deserves healing in that sense. It's by God's grace. No place in the Bible can I read any place where Jesus Christ or Paul or any place else came to somebody who needed healing and said, okay, we're going to interview you now. What did you do in the past? And tell me what were you thinking at the time? And he doesn't care. That doesn't matter. All he wants to know is, what do you want from God now? Are you at the point of believing? Are you ready to receive? And he'll get us to forget, as Stephanie also talked about, that we've already experienced the greatest healing miracle of all, the new birth. That is the greatest healing miracle of all of them. And how did the new birth happen? We believed words. Words. We confessed with our mouth Jesus is Lord because the word says that he's Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Were any of you there when it happened? You believed words from God's word. And those two things brought about the greatest healing that there ever has been in our lives. It happened by believing, and Jesus Christ is the key to all deliverance and all healing. Those two things are in the new birth, and they're in every healing that we receive. And that's why the next use of this word, sound or whole, is Jesus Christ talking about his ministry. Look at Luke 5. He used it about himself. Luke chapter 5. Luke 5. Shouldn't surprise us to see him talk about himself with this word. It's what he came for. Luke 5, 27. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, it says, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all and rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole, that's our word, they that are healthy or sound, they don't need a physician, but those that are sick need a physician. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus Christ came as the great physician to a world that's sick. It's soul sick because of sin. It's soul sick because of guilt and condemnation and fear. And he came to heal. Because all of these other things, fear and condemnation and loneliness and despair, as well as physical illness and physical death, are all products of that one thing, sin. He came to deal with sin and the consequences of sin, and that's why he's a complete savior. This word sick in verse 31, those that are sick, is actually one of the words in the Bible for evil. It's the word for evil, harassing, destructive evil. Jesus Christ came to help those that have been harmed and injured by evil and are therefore miserable. Well, that about describes it, doesn't it? Harmed and injured by evil and miserable. Probably makes you think of another verse, Acts 10. Let's look at that a moment. Acts 10, 38. Look at a couple more here. Acts 10, 38. Jesus Christ came to deliver. He came to heal. And if you think about it, this theme verse of this weekend, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's not just talking about the written word or the spoken word. What about the living word? Jesus Christ is the living word. He sent his word, the spoken, the written, and Jesus Christ, the living word, to heal us and to deliver us from our destructions. It's all three. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And again, I think we think in too limited a fashion about this, too small about this. When we read, he healed all that were oppressed by the devil, I think we still just think physical healing. Yes, physical healing, but much more. He came to heal us from far more than just that. He came so that our souls could prosper, to lead us in the right way, to lead us back to God, so that every part of our life would be healed and delivered. Let's look at Isaiah 58 a moment. Isaiah 58. Jesus Christ came to carry out the true fast, talked about in Isaiah 58. And this section in Isaiah here is the same one where God in Isaiah 53 talks about how his son would come to take our pains and our sicknesses upon him and to heal us. It's the same part of Isaiah where God in 55 talks about how his word always accomplishes what he sends it to. It's the same section as Isaiah 60 where Jesus Christ quoted, that we read in the earlier teaching, where he said that he'd come to deliver. And look at Isaiah 58 verse 6. This is what Christ came to do for us as the living word. Isaiah 58, 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, says God, to loose the bands of wickedness, to throw open, to set free from the bands of wickedness? Those are things that tie us up. They tie us up in knots. They hurt us. They torment us. They bring us pain. It's used mainly of illness, but it's used of all kinds of oppression by the devil. And then it says he came, and we're to see the undoing, the untying, or the releasing us from heavy burdens. Have you ever seen a chain gang? Do you know what a chain gang is? Some parts of the country you still see them in movies sometimes. A chain gang, they take prisoners, and they chain them together in a line. They shackle them. And many times, and they put them to work, which they don't want to be doing. And many times what they do is they put an iron bar across their shoulders and they wrap their arms on it, almost like being crucified in a sense, and that's how they control them. That's this word, heavy burdens. The adversary chained us. He controlled us. He oppressed us. And yet we've been delivered from all of that. It says to let the oppressed, those that are harassed, broken, crushed, discouraged, go free. And that we break every yoke, everything that enslaves. How beautiful. Look at verse 8. When we do this, it says, our light shall break forth as the morning, and our health shall spring forth speedily. This word, health, here is an amazing word. The Hebrew word means to have new healthy skin grow over and cover a wound that was infected and putrefying. That's quite a mind picture. That was our lives. Our lives were wounded by sin. wounded by the adversary. We were wounded in so many ways, wounded physically, mentally, spiritually. But God heals. He sent his son. He sent his word. And that grows that new skin over. It heals the wound. And then you have that beautiful new skin perfectly covering it over so that there's not even a scar left. God is a complete healer, and his son is a complete redeemer. How wonderful. Well, let's look at Proverbs 4. It's the next to last one here, Proverbs 4. So when we read all these verses that we have been reading and will read this weekend about healing, we need to see them bigger. We read 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. But when we read that, don't just think physical healing. Remember that it's healing in so many more categories. It's the full redemption. That verse, in the context, it talks about reconciliation with God. It talks about salvation. It talks about righteousness. Righteousness deals with one of our greatest wounds, condemnation, and all the fear and pain that that brings. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. The word of God has the power to heal our physical bodies too. Look at verse 20, Proverbs 4:20. My son, Proverbs 4:20, attend to my words, the words of God, healing, whole words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them. It's the same word God uses in Genesis when it says he breathed life into Adam. This word held in our hearts, brought into our hearts and held there, it brings life into our very bodies. And it will be, it says, health. That's the word for medicine. It'll be medicine. This word of God will be the medicine to all your flesh, your whole body. The word of God heals. That's why every time the word of God is held forth, every time a fellowship meets, it's a healing service because the word is present to heal. Let's go back to 3 John 2. 3 John 2 to close. And let's just reread this in light of everything we've seen. The heart of God toward us. In Genesis, Adam got away from God's word and he ended up physically sick, spiritually dead, and diseased in soul and mind with fear and guilt. But this word of God, God has sent to deliver us from every part of that. And it's this word of God that will bring deliverance to us and to everyone else. The great disease of our time is not cancer, it's not AIDS, it's not heart disease. The great disease of our time is sin. The great disease that brings those symptoms of doubt and worry and fear and loneliness and so much more, condemnation, fear. But we have the cure. We have the antidote. It's God's word. And God wants us to go forth and bring that healing to all. Stephanie talked about the faithful ambassador. It says a faithful ambassador is health. When we go forth speaking this word of deliverance, we are healing to God's people. We are healing to the world. We're medicine to their lives. We're ambassadors of the very God whose nature it is to heal and to break every yoke. Where there's brokenness, we can bring wholeness. Where there's despair, we can bring hope. And we can be the touch of the Master's hand in people's lives by the healing of God's word. 3 John 2, I'd like to read this again with you to close. I'd like to give you a more literal and expanded translation. Just, you could read it in the Bible, but just listen here to what God is saying to us in this wonderful verse. It says, when I consider everything, my prayer for you, my especially loved and dear children, is that you would be led in my good way, the way of my word, as imitators of Christ who is the way, that you be fully healthy and whole and sound, healthy in words, healthy in teaching, healthy in doctrine, healthy in believing, which is how you'll be able to manifest even more physical health. And all of this will come to pass according to how much you decide to allow your soul, your life, to be led in my good way, the way of the written and the living word. That's God's true prosperity. That's God's true healing and God's true health. Thank you, Father, for your great love for us, and thank you for how you've provided everything we would need to be whole in every single category of our lives. Causes removed, symptoms disappear, and that we can live in that wholeness now and throughout all eternity because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the greatness of your word in us. Thank you, Father, that we have a word to take to the nations, that we have the healing balm that everyone is crying out for and so desperately needs. Thank you, Father, that we can be faithful ambassadors that bring health to ourselves, to the church, and to the world as we carry the greatness of this word in our hearts, our lives, our lips, with love and believing, so that your great dream and your great desire to heal all can come to pass. Thank you, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.